Welcome to 40ANM N5, a download of 40ANM LLC, recorded at 2200 Eastern on Sunday, June 9th. I'm Chris Bohm with a selection of tech sector and related global news and policy highlights from the past week. Coming up, press reports issued by The Guardian newspaper in the UK and The Washington Post in the US detail top-secret call data and internet-related surveillance programs. Members of Congress, the administration, and legal scholars respond to the reports in both the U.S. and Europe. Cisco releases the latest results from its virtual networking index, detailing internet traffic growth predictions through 2016. The U.S. releases its latest unemployment figures, detailing for May. President Obama announces executive orders and a related White House report on patent trolling in the U.S. Recent press reports discuss potential disagreement on spectrum auction plans for the U.S. in 2014. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative conducts a public hearing on potential trade negotiations with Europe. And before last week's news, we had already planned to discuss surveillance developments in other parts of the world, so we will end this week with a discussion of some non-U.S. debates on the subject. But first, on Wednesday, June 5th, The Guardian newspaper in the UK made public the contents of a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court order granted by Judge Roger Vinson to the FBI in the US on April 25th, the content of which requires Verizon Business Services, a division of Verizon Communications, to give the US National Security Agency information on all telephone calls in its systems, both within the US and between the US and other countries, on an ongoing daily basis. Under the terms of the order, the numbers of both parties to a telephone call are provided, as is location data, call duration, unique identifiers, and the time and duration of all calls. The contents of the conversations are not covered, and as detailed in The Guardian's discussion of the order, its duration is for a specified three-month period ending on July 19th. In responding to questions on the release, as reported by The Guardian, Senator Dianne Feinstein, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said that she believed that the order is a three-month renewal of what has been the case for the past 7 years, as carried out under the Patriot Act. Senator Feinstein added that the order requires only metadata and not the content of a communication. The Verizon order expressly bars the company from disclosing to the public either the existence of the FBI's request or the court order itself. A Washington-based spokesman for Verizon declined comment on Wednesday on behalf of the company. In a further revelation, the Washington Post reported on the morning of Thursday, June 6th, that the NSA and FBI have been secretly gathering data from 9 leading U.S. internet companies, extracting a huge cache of audio, video, photograph, and email information and other records, according to a classified presentation intended for senior NSA officials. According to the material obtained by the Washington Post, the program, dubbed PRISM, has operated for approximately 6 years. The named firms include Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, Paltalk, AOL, Skype, YouTube, and Apple. The companies, in their official statements, have denied any knowledge of PRISM, but because the program is so highly classified, according to the Post, only a few people at most in each company would legally be allowed to know of its existence, let alone how it operates. According to detail of how PRISM operates, published by the Post on Sunday, June 9th, companies are issued an order by the Justice Department to participate pursuant to Section 702 of the Patriot Act. NSA employees engage the system by typing in queries from their desks. And for queries involving stored communications, the queries pass first through the FBI's Electronic Communications Surveillance Unit, which reviews the terms to ensure that no U.S. citizens are targets of the queries. That unit then sends the query to the FBI's Data Intercept Technology Unit, which connects to equipment at the internet company and passes the results on to the NSA. The system is most often used for emails, according to the Post, but handles video, images, documents, and chat as well. The career intelligence officer who disclosed details of the online mining program to the Post said that he acted out of a sense that the NSA has exceeded the privacy expectations of Americans. The source thinks that he is likely to be exposed and is prepared for that possibility, according to the article in the Post. One justice official speaking to the Post on the condition of anonymity said that the department is at the start of the process of determining if an investigation of the leaks is appropriate. The presentation document on PRISM, obtained by the Post, described it as the most prolific contributor to the president's daily brief, which cited PRISM data in 1,477 items last year. The presentation also cited that the NSA reporting increasingly relies on PRISM as its leading source of raw material, accounting for nearly 1 in 7 intelligence reports. The Guardian in the UK also reported on Friday that GCHQ, Britain's equivalent of the NSA, has been secretly gathering intelligence from the same internet companies through the operation set up by the NSA. According to documents obtained by The Guardian, the program would appear to allow GCHQ to circumvent the formal legal process required in Britain to seek personal material such as emails, photos, and videos from an internet company based outside the country. The government's actions in both the call data and PRISM are overseen by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, composed of 11 federal judges appointed by Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts Jr. The court, which rarely makes their opinions or deliberations public, approved each of the 1,789 eavesdropping requests it received from the government in 2012, except for one that was withdrawn, with modifications made to 40 requests, according to a report the court made to Congress and was reported on by the Washington Post. The court's chief judge, Reggie Walton, said that there is a vigorous review process of applications submitted by the executive branch, spearheaded initially by the 5 judicial branch lawyers who are national security experts, and then by the judges, to ensure that the court's authorizations comport with the applicable statutes and what they authorize. One of the FISA court's roles is to ensure that the government's procedures regarding foreign targets does not interfere with the Fourth Amendment rights of Americans who might be swept up in the surveillance, and its judges have bristled at the notion that it is a rubber stamp for the government, according to the Post. Judge Reggie Walton has said that it has opened my eyes to the level of hatred that exists in the world. Elizabeth Goteen, co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice in New York, said to the Wall Street Journal that courts sometimes make mistakes. When that happens, the losing party has the right to appeal, and the erroneous decision can be reversed. But that process cannot happen when a secret court considers a case with only one party before it. National Intelligence Director James Clapper said in a statement on Thursday that information collected under the Call Data Program is among the most important and valuable foreign intelligence information we collect, and is used to protect our nation from a wide variety of threats. In a statement issued on Saturday, he described PRISM as an internal government computer and system used to facilitate the government's statutory authority and the collection of foreign intelligence information, adding that the disclosures of it are reckless and that the media has not given full content to the extent to which these programs are overseen by all three branches of government, according to the Post. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers, Republican of Michigan, said in a Thursday press conference on Capitol Hill, as reported in the Washington Post, that within the past few years, the call data program was used to stop a terrorist attack in the U.S. We know that. It's important, he said. And it's used to make sure that there is not an international nexus to any terrorism event, if there may be one ongoing. In a speech given by President Obama in San Jose on Friday, he said, two programs that were originally authorized by Congress have been repeatedly authorized by Congress. Bipartisan majorities have approved them. Congress is continually briefed on how these are conducted, and federal judges are overseeing the entire program throughout. The programs, he added, make a difference in our capacity to anticipate and prevent possible terrorist activity. President Obama said that I came in with a healthy skepticism about these programs, but my assessment and my team's assessment was that they help us to prevent terrorist attacks. You can't have 100% security and also then have 100% privacy and zero inconvenience. We're going to have to make some choices as a society. As of Sunday, reported the Post, House Speaker John Boehner, Republican of Ohio, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat of Nevada, are leading the defense of the aggressive surveillance techniques. However, even backers of the law were concerned. Congressman James Sensenbrenner, Republican of Wisconsin, said in a statement, as the author of the Patriot Act, I am extremely disturbed by what appears to be an overbroad interpretation of the act. These reports are deeply concerning and raise questions about whether our constitutional rights are secure. The Center for Constitutional Rights, in a statement commenting on the Guardian story, said that, as far as we know, this order from the FISA court is the broadest to ever have been issued. It requires no level of suspicion and applies to all Verizon Business Service customers anywhere in the U.S. They added that the Patriot Act's incredibly broad surveillance provision purportedly authorizes an order of this sort, though its constitutionality remains in question. In March 2011, a senior Justice Department official, Todd Hinnon, testified before Congress that the relevant section, 215, known as the business records provision, has been used to obtain driver's license records, hotel records, car rental records, apartment leasing records, credit card records, and the like. He also said that Congress has been briefed on the use of the orders for a highly sensitive intelligence operation, which, according to the Post, seemed to be a reference to the phone records collection. As reported in the Post story, lawmakers have made efforts over the years to limit the sweep of surveillance, particularly under Section 215, including a 2005 effort by a group of Democratic senators, including Barack Obama, but the limitations have never been adopted. Although, as reported, it remains unclear how Section 215 authorizes the government to collect blanket call records on a daily basis, as opposed to historical records that exist at the time of the order. Senator Richard Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, a member of the Judiciary Committee, posed the question, how far do we need to go? Do we have to sacrifice our own privacy rights to do it? Adding that these are important questions that should be asked and answered constantly in a democracy. Although Chairman Feinstein and President Obama have emphasized that the programs have been both authorized by Congress and briefed to them on multiple occasions, it seemed as of Friday that at least some in Congress were uncertain as to the scope of what was truly authorized. If our government is going to become Big Brother like this, people need to know about it and decide whether that's what they want, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte, Republican of Virginia, said Friday on the Laura Ingraham Show, a radio program. The panel's ranking Democrat, John Conyers Jr., Democrat of Michigan, said that serious alarm bells went off when the Post revealed details of the prison program on Thursday. Harvard Law School professor Lawrence Tribe commented the Post, I recognize the need to keep details confidential if the government's anti-terrorism efforts are to succeed. But keeping details confidential isn't the same as keeping so much of the thought process in the dark that a meaningful public discussion becomes essentially impossible. What has disappointed me is the absence of that discussion. In his speech in San Jose on Friday, the president said that he welcomed a national debate on the government's counterterrorism activities. I think it's healthy for our democracy, he said. On May 30th, Cisco issued the results of its annual Visual Networking Index forecast for 2011 through 2016. The VNI is part of the company's ongoing initiative to forecast and analyze Internet Protocol networking growth and trends worldwide, and it projects the amount of traffic expected to travel public and private networks, including mobile data generated by both consumers and business users. By 2016, annual global IP traffic is forecast to be 1.3 zettabytes. A zettabyte is equal to a trillion gigabytes. The projected increase of global IP traffic between 2015 and 2016 alone is almost equal to the total amount of global IP traffic generated in all of 2011. By 2016, the forecast projects that there will be nearly 18.9 billion network connections, almost 2.5 connections for each person on Earth, compared with 10.3 billion in 2011, including mobile phones and other smart devices, as well as machine-to-machine communications. By 2016, there are also expected to be 3.5 billion internet users, about 45% of the world's projected population, according to United Nations estimates. By that time, the average fixed broadband speed is expected to increase nearly fourfold, from 9 megabits per second in 2011 to 34 megabits per second by 2016. 1.2 million video minutes, the equivalent of 833 days or over 2 years, would travel the internet every second. India is expected to have the highest IP traffic growth rate. In second place, Brazil and South Africa will have both 53% increase over the forecast period. And by 2016, the highest traffic generating countries will be the United States and China. Globally, there were 1.7 billion residential internet users with fixed internet access in 2011. The index forecasts there will be 2.3 billion residential internet users with the same access by 2016. The full report is available at newsroom.cisco.com. The latest U.S. non-farm payroll data released on June 7th show that 175,000 jobs were created in May in the U.S., but the unemployment rate has increased slightly to 7.6%. However, both the number of unemployed persons at 11.8 million and the unemployment rate were essentially unchanged, according to the Labor Department statement. In May, the number of long-term unemployed, those jobless for 27 weeks or more, was unchanged at 4.4 million. These individuals account for roughly 37% of those unemployed. It remains to be seen whether these numbers will impact a decision by the Federal Reserve to change the nature of its current bond buying program, but most see a change to be unlikely. On June 4th, President Obama announced a series of executive orders to target patent trolling in a bid to protect tech innovation. Among the executive actions announced was a new rule to be enacted by the Patent and Trademark Office requiring patent holders to reveal their ties to other companies. The White House said that patent trolls often set up shell companies to hide the extent of their patent portfolios, filing frivolous lawsuits in a bid to extract costly settlements. The president also ordered the PTO to improve its examination process, to weed out patents with overly broad claims, and to educate consumers, retailers, and other users on how to handle lawsuit threats. Among the expected measures is to require any party sending a demand letter or filing a patent infringement suit to file updated ownership information with the PTO. In addition, the president wants Congress to provide courts with greater flexibility to force losers in patent cases to pay the attorney's fees for the party that wins, a practice called fee shifting, which is a component of several pieces of draft legislation on Capitol Hill. In a blog posted on the same day by National Economic Council head Gene Sperling, it was highlighted that the number of lawsuits brought by patent trolls over the last 2 years has accounted for 62% of all patent lawsuits. All told, the victims of patent trolls paid roughly $29 billion in 2011, a 400% increase from 2005. These figures, detailed in the blog, are contained in a 17-page study released by the White House in conjunction with the announced measures. An article published by the New York Times on June 3rd detailed that U.S. antitrust authorities have urged the Federal Communications Commission in April to develop mobile spectrum auction rules to ensure that T-Mobile and Sprint can purchase spectrum to better compete with the two larger carriers, AT&T and Verizon. According to the Times, the suggestion that some auction participants could get favored treatment has developed into a serious dispute with interests and members of Congress lined up on both sides of the debate. The spectrum airwaves in question would be in the 600 megahertz band, which includes highly valuable characteristics such as the ability to move easily through buildings and travel longer distances between towers. Congressman Fred Upton, Republican of Michigan, chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, has said that for the FCC to preference two carriers would defeat Congress's goals for the auction. According to the Times, Congressman Henry Waxman, Democrat of California, who is the committee's ranking member, has said that while the law prevents the FCC from preventing someone from participating in a competitive bidding, it would be permissible for the FCC to form multiple blocks of spectrum, with participants allowed to bid on some, but not all. The sole Republican member of the FCC at present, Ajit Pai, said recently that all wireless players should participate in the auction and market forces should sort out who wins and who loses, according to the Times. One of the two Democrats on the FCC, acting Chairwoman Mignon Clyburn, has emphasized that any spectrum limits should be intended to facilitate access by all providers. The auctions for these airwaves is expected next year. On May 29th and 30th, the Office of the United States Trade Representative, in conjunction with the Interagency Trade Policy Staff Committee, chaired a public hearing in Washington, D.C. on U.S. negotiating objectives for the proposed Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTIP, agreement. During the 90-day consultation process that began in March, USTR-led teams have held meetings with members of Congress, and most recently the USTR received roughly 370 submissions on the TTIP from a panoply of stakeholders that submitted comments. Roughly 60 named speakers participated in the two-day public hearing, including the Coalition of Service Industries, BSA, the Software Alliance, the Center for Democracy and Technology, and the Electronic Privacy Information Center. The U.S. and EU are expected to begin negotiations toward a potential TTIP in July. The United States isn't the only country over the past few months to engage in a vigorous debate over surveillance and its authority. In April 2013, India began rolling out the Central Monitoring System, or CMS, which according to Human Rights Watch will enable its government to monitor all phone and internet communications in the country. The Ministry of Communications and Information Technology had announced in January 2011 that steps would be taken to prevent its potential misuse. But to date, according to Human Rights Watch, the government has released very little information about what agencies will have access to the system, who may authorize surveillance, and what legal standards might be met to intercept various kinds of data or communications. Two laws in India address interception or access to communications data. The Information Technology Act amendments of 2008 allow the government to intercept, monitor, or decrypt any information generated, transmitted, received, or stored in any computer resource in the interests of the sovereignty or integrity of India, defense of India, security of the estate of the state, friendly relations with foreign states, or for public order. The Colonial Indian Telegraph Act of 1885 also allows wiretapping in conformity with the guidelines that are supposed to act as a check on indiscriminate interception by law enforcement agencies. More recently, on May 30th, the Guardian newspaper in the UK reported that the five biggest internet companies in the world, including Google and Facebook, privately delivered a thinly veiled warning letter to the UK Home Secretary Theresa May, stating that they would not voluntarily cooperate with the proposed communications data and surveillance plan referred to in the British press as the Snoopers Charter. The leaked letter to the Home Secretary, which was reported by The Guardian, was also signed by Twitter, Microsoft, and Yahoo. It stated that the rewritten proposal to track everybody's email, internet, and social media use remains expensive to implement and highly contentious. The letter describes the core premise of the Home Office communications data plan as to create a new data retention order for the UK that would require overseas internet companies to store the personal data of all of their British-based users for up to 12 months at an estimated cost of £1.8 billion. The companies say that while they are prepared to make reasonable accommodations to reflect local concerns and legal requirements, what May has proposed in the data bill would be very different. The companies detail an alternative approach to extend existing arrangements, including a new US-UK bilateral initiative to make the process faster and more efficient. Law enforcement in the UK already has the ability, under the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, or RIPA, to demand communications data from internet and phone companies on terror and serious crime suspects. As detailed by The Guardian on May 29th, the powers are widely used. 494,000 such requests were made by police and security services in the UK in 2011 alone. But the existing RIPA code of practice means that police can only ask the companies to hand over data for a period of up to 30 days, and the requests are valid for only 1 month. Companies believe that this existing power would be much more effective if police were able to seek such data on terror suspects for an initial period of 6 months, possibly renewable for a longer period on the decision of a judge. Emma Carr, deputy director of Big Brother Watch, a UK-based campaign organization, said to the Guardian newspaper that the UK is faced with a situation where the surveillance of suspected terrorists is not limited by legislation, by the application of existing law and resources available to security services and police. These are issues of significant concern, she added, that the communications data proposal would not have addressed while diverting billions of pounds from focused surveillance to blanket monitoring of everyone's internet use. Deputy Prime Minister Nicholas Clegg has come out in favor of blocking the Home Office proposed communications data plan on the basis that it is unworkable and disproportionate. They, the leading internet companies, have said that no other democracy in the world has done this. It would set a dangerous precedent and might then be followed by much less liberal and law-abiding regimes. Reference to the communications data bill was in fact most recently dropped from the Queen's speech after Deputy PM Clegg announced his opposition. On June 4th, the United Nations Special Rapporteur, Frank LaRue, presented a special report to the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. Mr. LaRue of Guatemala was appointed Special Rapporteur by the UNHRC in August 2008. His report, which is available in full at www.ohchr.org, details findings on the implications of state surveillance of communications on the exercise of human rights to privacy and freedom of opinion and expression. Freedom of expression cannot be ensured without respect to privacy and communications, the UN Special Rapporteur said in the press release on the report, calling for more global attention to the widespread use of surveillance technologies by states. Concerns about national security and criminal activity may justify the exceptional use of communication surveillance, he said. Nevertheless, national laws regulating what constitutes the necessary, legitimate, and proportional state involvement in communication surveillance are often inadequate or simply do not exist. The Special Rapporteur urged states to review national laws regulating surveillance, ensuring better protection to privacy and communications, and raise public awareness of the increasing threats to privacy posed by new communication technologies and the potential commercialization of surveillance technologies. The right to privacy under UN agreements is guaranteed under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which India is a state party, among the UK and the US. Article 17 of the Covenant provides that no one shall be subjected to an arbitrary or unlawful interference with his privacy, family, home, or correspondence, nor to unlawful attacks on his honor or reputation. Everyone has the right to protection of the law against such interference or attacks. You have been listening to 40A&M in 5, a production of 40A&M LLC. For more information, visit 40a-m.com. All stories for this week's podcast were reported by at least two online or print news sources or taken directly from relevant releases, with the exception of specific reporting highlighted from The Guardian, The Washington Post, Huffington Post, NBC News, and The New York Times. We will be back with you on Monday, June 17th. Until then, make this week one to remember. And bye for now.